Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined on the phone now by Howard Beck, Bleacher Reporter, senior NBA writer. Howard, thanks for being back on with us.
Hey, Tiki, how are you?
I am doing well. Now, we heard about the Board of Governors meeting a couple of weeks ago out in Vegas and how some of these owners were upset. Some of them were probably quite okay with what's happened in free agency because they got the embarrassment of riches with the stars that are coming. How do you think this plays out from an owner-on-owner perspective?
Well, their concerns were twofold and maybe beyond that, but at a minimum, two major issues. One is tampering, obviously, which is funny for them to raise because they're all guilty of it.
Yeah,
so what
exactly.
You have is basically, 30, team representatives sitting in a room all wringing their hands over the fact that tampering is out of control while probably every single person in the room is employing people who were tampering on their behalf. it has gotten to all new levels. Things are going earlier and more quickly than they ever have. There were, suspicions and pretty much, more than suspicion, but that, Al Horford's deal with the Sixers was hatched around draft time, which, we can joke about guys agreeing to deals and us hearing about deals being consummated a minute after free agency opens on June 30th. But when you've got deals that were really consummated and being reported or at least rumored to be coming to fruition weeks before that, it's the creep that starts to concern everybody. This creeping window where it's like, well, it was a few hours early one year or a couple days early, and now it's a couple weeks early. And where does it end? And where, they have to figure out how to get a handle on this. And as Adam Silver said at the press conference at the Board of Governors meeting, either they have to, find rules that they can actually enforce and figure out a way to enforce them, or there's just no point in having these rules.
Yeah.
And when it comes to tampering, that's the thing. They've made them irrelevant.
Yeah, and it gets even harder because of the players. Now, the players, if they are caught, I guess is the easiest way to say this, caught tampering with another player who's under contract by another team, they get fined $50,000. Right? Like, who cares? LeBron doesn't care. Fine him. It's not going to make any difference on his bottom line. Is there any, or can they even put any rules in place to stop the players? They talk to each other, right? If Kawhi and KD are chatting at the All-Star game and says, hey, I think we should go play here together. What can you do about that?
Well, to be clear, players are not fined for tampering. Players in general have had a massive exception carved out for them.
But isn't it in the CBA? Isn't it in the CBA that they are fined?
The CBA, it's the NBA bylaws.
Oh, bylaws, yeah, exactly.
But the bylaws stipulate that or lay out all the tampering rules. Now, here's the distinction. A player, if they just are, you're friends with guys, you can't stop people from being friends. And as friends, you talk about, hey, it'd be fun to play together.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you're a free agent this summer, you should come to our team. If you're just doing that on your own behalf, that is actually allowed. It is only if you're being directed by the team. If the GM or the owner or somebody told you, hey, go recruit your buddy.
Yeah.
Now it falls, that goes across the line that the NBA has delineated. That said, among the many, many things that are almost impossible to prove, you can't prove whether or not that was team directed or whether that was independently done by the player. And there's a really important exception that was created here for the players by David Stern at that same lectern 9 years ago at a Summer League Board of Governors meeting when he spoke to the media afterward and everybody was wringing their hands about LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and whether they had conspired to connect in Miami. And Dan Gilbert of the Cavaliers was furious and he was alleging tampering and all this. And David Stern at that day said, players can't tamper with other players. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah.
He basically just said, these guys are free to talk to each other, and that's not something that they can or wanted to try to to police. But when it comes to teams, you're not supposed to be, you know, if you're a GM, you're not supposed to be asking the agent for a player who's a coming free agent about playing for you until free agency.
Yeah, but and basically negotiating a deal. Basically negotiating the whole deal, right?
Right, but teams even find loopholes even earlier than that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying this is what exactly happened, but people believed around the league, people were certain around the league, that when the Lakers signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope a couple summers ago, it was because he was a Rich Paul client, and that then allowed them to have conversations with Rich Paul because he represents one of their players. And then, oh, in the course of that conversation, hey, by the way, does LeBron want to come here? Let's start planning. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in the league who doesn't think that that was the reason that they established that relationship and signed that player. That does cross the line if it happened that way. But, again, because it's now murky, because, hey, that agent does have a player on your team, it's harder for the league to police. And, you know, this is the problem. If they want to crack down on tampering, as Rick Buchanan reportedly told the owners, Rick Buchanan, the chief counsel for the NBA, this was in the ESPN story, he basically said, do you want us to start basically, you know, getting, you know, to collecting your cell phones and your servers? Like, that's what it would take to actually prove tampering. And if they had all the cell phones and servers, they probably would prove a whole lot of tampering. But nobody wants to go there. So they either have to decide amongst themselves, the owners, that we all want to get this under control and, you know, kind of reel this thing back, order the people working for them to follow the rules, or it's just going to continue like this as if it's the Wild West.
Yeah, no, and it feels like it. And you know what, honestly, Howard, talking to Howard Beck, Bleacher Report senior NBA writer, we as consumers of it don't really care. I know how it hurts the smaller markets in a sense sometimes, but we don't care. And so it's not hurting the game. But it is, some things are hurting the game. And I think Steve Kerr hit on this. I'm going to ask you about it next. Steve Kerr, when talking about Anthony Davis and demanding a trade with years left, 2 years in particular in his case, on a contract is bad for the league. How is it bad for the league for Anthony Davis to do what he just did? We saw it, and it was ugly, watching him sit on the bench in the fourth quarter when he was healthy and had nothing, you know, no other reason not to play than that they were punishing him or didn't want to get a hurt for a trade. How is it bad?
Well, I don't want to speak for Steve Kerr, but I can give you the case for why potentially it's bad, and I'm not making the case, you know, on my own behalf either. I don't have a strong opinion on this, but you know, players have been asking for trades since professional sports reached this kind of level. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar asked out of Milwaukee, you know, 40 years ago. I don't think what Steve Kerr was trying to convey is that you know, a guy wanting out on its own is bad, because relationships sometimes go south, and sometimes you sign a contract with certain expectations and maybe the team didn't deliver on those expectations, and maybe you're justified in wanting out. And certainly you can make the case that Anthony Davis, after seven fruitless seasons in New Orleans, had a good case for wanting to be dealt. I think where the line could be drawn, and maybe should be drawn, is, you know, it's one thing for Kyrie Irving in the offseason 2 summers ago to go to Cleveland and quietly say, I want out. Now, it did leak, but I don't believe it leaked from his camp. He basically just said, you know, can you move me? I think I'm done here. And that's fair. They can, you know, a guy with longer, more years left, you can get more value for him usually when you trade him. It benefits the team knowing it's time to move on now as opposed to later. They also don't have to say yes. They could just say no. But what happened in the case of Anthony Davis was there was a spectacle involved here. This was a very public trade demand by his agent, Rich Paul. And there was a very clear goal by Rich Paul, by Anthony Davis, and by LeBron James to get him to L.A. And what happened was, because of the spectacle and because of the timing, it wasn't the offseason. It was the middle of the season.
Yeah.
So that hurt the New Orleans Pelicans. You cannot argue the point that this did not hurt the New Orleans Pelicans. Of course it hurt the Pelicans. It also ended up hurting LeBron's team. It ended up hurting the Lakers because all these young guys were unnerved by the fact that they were all now being floated in potential trades. And it also probably hurt the Boston Celtics because all of the discussion then became, well, the Pelicans need to wait for the offseason. They're not going to trade with the Lakers now because the Celtics are sitting there waiting with a better offer involving Jason Tatum potentially. So now the Celtics are all kind of unnerved. Now you've got three teams that are basically being, having their seasons thrown off kilter by this very public midseason trade demand. And I think, you know, that if I had to interpret Steve Kerr's remarks, it's probably more about that.
I mean, it was a cluster. It became really messed up. Howard Beck joining us here. Last question for you. We keep seeing these NBA stars pull out of the FIBA World Cup. What's going on with this? Why don't any of these stars want to play? I know the Paul George injury maybe had something to do with it a couple of years ago, but Damian Lillard's pulled out. Now Kevin Love has pulled out. No, none of the stars are playing. It's a bunch of younger NBA players that are going to be over there. Why does nobody want to play?
I don't know that I have an answer there. I can only speculate. But, you know, a lot of these guys are mid-career veterans who, many of whom or most of whom have already played international ball. The World Cup, the FIBA World Cup, does not have the glamour attached to it that the Olympics do, and the Olympics are in a year in Tokyo. And a lot of these guys might prefer that if I'm going to burn a summer spending a bunch of weeks overseas halfway around the world, I would rather do it for an Olympic gold medal than the World Cup, which just does not have that same glamour and prestige attached to it. And a lot of these guys, again, because they're mid-career stars, they're just, you know, they've got to start preserving their bodies a little more. They maybe just be more cognizant of their health. I don't think it's the Paul George injury. I think it's more just the general mileage that they all have to be cognizant of. And some of them have their own, you know, world tours that they go on for the shoe companies or other sponsors. They're busy.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they might have families. Instead of spending the summer overseas,
absolutely,
I'm going to hang out with my kids, which is novel, right? Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, senior NBA writer. Thanks for dropping on with us again. Good to chat with you and good information.
Always a pleasure, Tiki. Thank you.
Be good. Howard Beck.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.